This morning we're going to continue with our next commitment, which is devotional life. It says that we will maintain family and private devotions, bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, seek for the salvation of our relatives, friends, and acquaintances. So this morning we're going to talk about we are the priests of God. Last week our sermon title was We Are the Church. And we talked about how it's us, right? It's us collectively here that are the church of God. And each one of us needs to be here, but also we need each other to be the church. And so this morning we're kind of taking that same idea and we're applying it to our role in our different spheres of influence, that we are the priests of God. We are the ones that connect people to God, and we are the ones that represent God to other people. And so in our devotional life, right, in our the idea of what is it that we are devoted to, you know, that's a question that each one of us must answer individually. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 27 says, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." There is going to be a judgment for how we live this life. God is going to reward those who are faithful to Him. And the question is, what will be your reward? We must choose devotion to God over all else. James 1, 22 through 27 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And for he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." You know, here's the reality. We are all devoted to something. The question is, what are you devoted to? What is it that you are devoted to? At some point in time, you are going to die. And people are going to memorialize your life. And they're going to talk about the things that were important to you, the memories that they have of you. What is it that they're going to talk about? What is it that sums up what you are devoted to in your life? I brought over here some things that somebody might put in their memorial box. Some things that people hold dear. Some things that might represent a life. Some people are devoted to cooking, to food. I like my food. I might be one of those people. Now, I do realize people devoted to cooking would probably not be getting their potatoes out of a box. But just bear with me on that one. For some people, it's not so much about food, it's just certain kinds of food, you know, like chips and some really good salsa. This was out of our garden, this garden that we had with Jackie and Stephen this year, and let me tell you, it is delicious. Some people are devoted to music, and for others, it's just about the bass. So I brought this speaker here. This is what I use for our home Bible study. We listen to a song every week. Some people are committed to their work. Some people love crafts. This one, before we got to put it back, the W needs to be glued back on. Some people love photography. Some people love exercise. Now, I didn't know that those people actually existed, but they do. Some people like clothes. For some people, it's just about the shoes. Some people like politics, right? Got my Trump flag here. And my Make America Great Again hat. Some people, it's about the boys in blue, right? Supporting our police. Police lives matter. Some people, it doesn't really matter which team it is. They just support the red, white, and blue. Love our country. So you might represent a flag, and obviously many people have a flag that's draped over their coffin. Some people, it's about sports. It's about their favorite football team. And so, you know, gotta have lots of stuff to support our favorite football team to wear them. Sundays, we got the Royals, we got the Chiefs. Well, that's supposed to be 87. We got Patrick Mahomes. Some people, they root for the wrong team. Other people's root for the wrong team. Some people, they love hunting, right? They're dedicated to it. You know every year what they're doing, right? Some people, they like puzzles. Some people like card games. Other people don't like football. They're more into baseball. It takes a lot longer to watch baseball, though. It's kind of, unless you're playing it, it kind of gets boring. Some people would rather just cuddle up with a good book and enjoy that. Some people just like video games. Yeah, video games. Finally, something I care about. For some people, it's about board games. Anybody like board games? Monopoly? Yeah. For some people, it's about their family. They love their family, and they're passionate about it. They're dedicated. Some people, it's about their marriage. Some people, it's about superheroes, Captain America. Oh, yeah. For some people, it's about cleaning, and you got to use a Norwex rag. That's what I've learned this year. Because you just need a rag. You don't need any cleaner. Just a little water. Some people, it's not really about cleaning so much. They just like the vacuum. For some people, it's about a baby shark. You like baby shark? For some people, it's just give me some screen time. Give me something to watch. Give me something to play. Yeah, give me that. Give me, give me, give me. For some people, it's about their grief. And they're dedicated to their grief. It's what drives them. Some people, they like their tools. You can't get enough of those. Now, I was going to bring my gun over here, but quite frankly, I just forgot. Otherwise, I would have. Some people are definitely passionate about their guns. I kind of wish I was a little bit more than I am, but not really. But to be honest with you, a lot of people, this is what they're passionate about. Nothing. They're really just passionate about nothing. They go through life without a passion. And after we fill up our lives with all of these things, the question is, do we have any room for Jesus? Can we really say that we are dedicated to Christ? And the reality is, I think for a lot of us, we need to rethink what it means to be dedicated, what it means to be devoted to God. Because the reality is, we are devoted to something. Something is filling up our time. Something is filling up our desires. Something is filling up our thought process. What is it? It can be good things. There's nothing in this pile of stuff that is intrinsically wrong. I didn't put any sins in here, right? These are all just things and people, relationships. The reality is we are devoted to something, and we have agreed as a body together that we are going to be devoted to God. And so the question is, individually, where is our devotion? Where is our passion? You have a family, and you are leading your family. You're giving them an example. What example are you giving to them? What are you training them? Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, we know this verse quite well. And these words shall be, these words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall walk, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. We know that verse, right? But what is it that we're teaching them? Because here's the reality, we are teaching them. Every time we go somewhere, every time we do something, every time we sit down, every time we stand up, when we get up in the morning, when we lie down at night, we are teaching our children. And we know that verse. But do we know what we're actually teaching our children? What are they actually learning from our example? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What is your family learning from your training? When they get older, do you want them to copy what you're doing? What's important to you, do you want it to be important to them? Because you are training your children. Maybe they're learning from you that our religious beliefs are just something that is important one or two days a week. And the rest of the time, we just live like everybody else. What are they learning about? Do they know more about your favorite television series than the Word of God? What are you training your children? What are you training your wife and your family? What are you teaching? Discipline. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." That admonishment means, it means teaching, rebuking, disciplining, means correcting their understanding. Proverbs 13:24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Are you disciplining your children? Are you teaching them the right way to go? Or do you say, you know what, you can do whatever you want to. It's your life, live it. First Corinthians 9:24-27 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. And therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." What kind of race are you running? Are you running the race for the prize of the glory of Christ? Or are you running the rat race that everybody else is running? What kind of a race is your children running? Are they running alongside of you, determined to live for Christ? Is that where their heart is because your heart's there? Or is it somewhere else? What is it that your family is competing for? Day in, day out. What are you striving for together as a family? What are you devoted to? What does success look like in your family? When we think about our friends and our relatives, our family, what is our desire to appeal to them? What is it that we're trying to communicate? What is it that we are showing them? 1 Peter 2, 4 through 12 says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as a living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. That as they think about your influence in their life, your work in their life, they glorify God. Is that the message that you're sending to them? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, you and I, are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The question this morning is, what compels you? Is it this right here? Is this what compels you? Is it devotion to Christ? Or is it these things? Because until we start to remove our devotion to these things, we're not going to have our life in proper perspective. We're not going to be compelled by Christ's love if we're compelled by all the world's offerings. You say, Pastor, you just put your marriage aside. Yeah, I did. Because let me tell you something. If your marriage is the most important thing in your life, you will ruin your marriage. If politics are the most important thing in your life, you will be a miserable person. If video games are the most important thing in your life, you won't have any friends. Even your family must take a back seat. All of this stuff. Even the chips and salsa. Even the mashed potatoes. You want to know when you get your life, your priorities in order? It's when the only thing that you're extremely passionate about, your highest priority in life, your main desire, is the cross of Christ and serving Him and loving Him. When we serve Him, when we seek Him with all of our heart, guess what? Everything else will fall into place. You have a marriage. You should be dedicated to your marriage. You should be devoted to it. But that devotion should not come above our devotion to Christ. We have a responsibility to our children to raise them according to God's standards. But even that devotion to our children should not come above our devotion to Christ. When we show our wives and our children and the people around us that the most important thing in our life is serving Jesus, let me tell you, that's where that peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that's when it comes in. Jesus said, "You will find me when you search for me and you seek me with all of your heart." There's no way we have room for everything at the top of the list. And so we must choose. It's not that you can't be passionate about things, but what are you most passionate about? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you recognizing that we have made a commitment to each other to make you number one. To be devoted to you above all else, to maintain family and private devotions, and to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to seek for the salvation of our relatives and our friends and our acquaintances. And if we're honest, Lord, we each have to realize that we have work to do in this area. We have room to grow. So, Lord, I pray that even this morning that you would inspire, that your Spirit would come over us, and that we would renew that commitment, renew that desire to be devoted to you. Yes, spend time reading your word. Yes, gather as a family to sing songs of praise to you, to be devoted to you. Maybe to read the Daily Bread or some other devotional book. But Lord, if we just do that, we will miss the picture. We have to put you first. We have to teach our children that you are number one, both by our example and by our words, and by training even ourselves. So Lord, I pray as we seek to do that, Lord, that you would bless it. Give us the strength and energy to lay down and lay aside those things we like for that which is greater, for your purpose, for your love in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.